Hey guys, this is Joe McGee. You know, we've been doing seminars across the country for years. Seminars on marriage, parenting, men, money, and family. I want to encourage you to email us and let us know if this podcast has helped you, and maybe you've joined us live at one of our seminars. If you have a testimony or just want to tell us what God's doing in your life, please email us at mail@joemcgeeministries.com, or you can contact us through our website, joemcgeeministries.com. There you'll find helpful articles and tools to help you grow in God, grow in your marriage, and grow in your family. We love you guys. We hope you enjoy the podcast. I don't know if you know it or not, but one out of every two children born in America will spend some time in a single-parent home. One out of three children in America will not finish high school. They will not graduate from 12th grade. One out of three children in America will be born to unwed parents. They're not even committed to one another yet. They've got a baby they're going to have to raise. One out of four is born to a teenage mother. One out of five lives in poor health. One out of six lives under the poverty level. America ranks number one in the world in the number of fatherless homes. There are more runaway dads in the United States than Bangladesh, India, China, Russia, or any place that you want to pick. What happened? Well, we raised a lot of adolescents. We didn't raise any adults. Because adults become responsible when they get older. You got to learn about responsibility. You know, as long as you're looking good and smelling good, we'll play kissy face. You don't look so good, I'm out of here. And that's what's going on in the world today. And that's why moms sometimes have a hard time doing their job. If men don't do their job, women can't do their job. You know, God made all men to be lunch chasers. All men are lunch chasers. They're hunters by nature. That's why you walk into a house and the man, not the woman, will say, hey, I shot that, killed that, beat that to death, ran that over. I don't have very few women to point out dead heads on the wall. Because God designed women to be nurturers. They're nest defenders. They're not lunch chasers. Caveman leaves in the morning, goes out in the jungle, spends all day beating some mastodon to death. Cave woman doesn't go. She stays by the cave, keeps cave clean, plays with cave kids, change cave kid diapers, visit with other cave women, build cave fire. Caveman comes home. It's a good political situation, by the way. Caveman comes home with that mastodon late in the evening, drops it next to that fire, looks at that cave woman. He'll grunt at her. He'll, and that's cave tougher. Skin this thing and barbecue it. And she'll look at him and she goes, that means okay. He'll plop down and stare in the fire because men love fires. You build a fire, men go deaf and dumb around a fire. Because they're thinking. We don't have fires anymore. We got TV sets that work just as good. You come home from chasing lunch and turn that fire on. He's not watching. If you think he's watching, hand him the remote. He'll immediately start to hunt. Boom, boom, boom. Boom, boom. He's wanting to hunt for a better program. He doesn't want to establish a relationship with one. But the cave woman will get up, get the cave blanket around him, get his little cave belly full. She'll take care of the mastodon, the kids. She'll do everything else. Cave woman's smart enough not to keep the caveman up to 2 a.m. analyzing their cave relationship. Because come sun up, he's got to go do the same thing again tomorrow. Most parts of the world, relationships are easy. Life may be hard, relationships are easy. Men appreciate the women. Women appreciate the men. But one thing I've learned about life, even in this modern age, is my wife does what she has to do. She does. And she's told that as we've gone through life. And I've had to grow up. Nobody told me that when we were saying I do, that you're going to have to grow up. I know this is fun, pretty, kissy-kissy, but you're going to have to grow up because responsibility is coming. And it's an adventure to live life and be responsible. But mamas understand sacrifice because Jesus said this in John 10:10, I want you to have a rich and satisfying life. Well, how do I get that life? And he explains it. He said, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep. He lays his life on the line. He said, a hireling, when trouble comes, a hireling will run away. He won't protect the sheep, for he's only doing what he's doing for the money. In other words, he's only doing what he's doing for what he can get out of it. If you take a job for only what you can get out of it, not what you can give, you will hate your job eventually. You get married for only what you can get out of it, not what you can give. You will hate your marriage eventually. You have children for what you think they can do for you instead of what you're going to do for them. You will hate them. God designed humans for one thing, service. We were designed to serve. Jesus said, you want to be great in my kingdom? Become the servant of all. And I've never seen anybody serve like a mama will. You want to be great. That's why women have a high position in heaven in God's eyes. God has a dim view on people who mistreat women, especially mothers. That's why he said, I'll be a father to the orphan. I'll be a husband to the widow. God picks up the slack if men drop it. He thinks highly of women. And so he comes down here and he says, listen to me. You want to be great? Begin to serve. You know, in the New Testament, if you're going to take care of a widow in the New Testament, it sounds very hard. You know, you think, well, widow, we're going to help her. Well, now there was a prerequisite in the New Testament. If widows came to the founding fathers of the church, Paul and James, all of them, we have a widow. Do we take care of them? They say, well, first of all, let's ask some questions. Have you washed the saints' feet? Have you been given to hospitality? Have you shown kindness to others? In other words, there's a prerequisite. Has this widow been a servant? For if she has not been a servant, we're not helping you. That's one of the hardest scriptures in the New Testament. Being a widow, that's right. God has a high view of service. God got mad at the men of Israel. They were slobbering all over the altar of God in Malachi 1 and Malachi 3. And God said, why are you slobbering on my altar? And he said, well, because there's no rain and the economy's bad and sheep are skinning and cows are skinning. They repossessed my camel. Mama needs a new dress. And he said, well, we're bringing our tithes. What's the matter? And he said, you got a heart problem. And he said, I saw you bring your offering this morning. I saw that three-legged one-eyed goat you laid on my altar. It's in there. I'm not making this up. He said, I'm not moving off that three-legged goat. I said to bring your best, your first fruit. You're stingy with your money. It's a heart issue. You're stingy with your money. Number two, you're dealing treacherously with the wife of your youth. You're treating your wife ugly. And I'm not moving on that. Jesus said this, when you come to worship God with your offering, if you have aught against anybody, lay that offering down and go get this settled. He said, this relationship doesn't flow well with this one messed up. And so Jesus went on to say, you know how you have a satisfied life? Spend your life helping other people. You are the salt. You're the light. It's Christ. You're the hope of glory. You'll never be happy unless you're helping other people. Because the minute you stop helping others, you think somebody owes you something. If it's not going that direction, I think it ought to be coming this direction. There's no guarantee for that. God saved us, blessed us, filled us with the Holy Ghost, gave us favor, angels you cannot count around to be a blessing to people. So don't get weary in well-doing. Be a blessing. Mamas do that more than dads. You know, 70% of the people that cross the Oregon Trail to settle the West Coast were women, not men. Because men only do things really most time to look good. We're big on honor. Now, we've got some adventure in us, but women do what they do for security. It's survival. My kids can't survive this side. We've got to get over there. We've got to get to more fertile land. I cannot not go. So women do extra for their children. So they know about sacrifice. They know about serving. And if you're going to be a good mama, sacrifice is what it's going to take, because you never build anything on this planet without putting something into the ground first. If you don't sow some seed, you don't get it. So mamas, I want you to be encouraged. God loves people who serve. God honors you for serving, for helping your kids grow up, confronting them when they need it, encouraging them when they need it. You know, when kids go home, they don't ask for daddy. I got six kids. Five. Hello? Hey, where's mama? I'm doing good. I've had a good day and it's been a great week. I know, but where's mama? They want you. They always want mama. Big grown men playing the NFL. Turn around. Hey, mama. They don't ever say hi to their daddy. You ever watch an NFL player? Hey, dad. No. Hey, mom. Why? Because mamas are mean as snot. Made them do what was right. Whipped them when they needed whipping. Fed them when they needed feeding. Make sure they didn't hang out with idiot people. And they know that now they're an adult. Thank God my mother was mean. She made me do what was right. And that's why they wait. Because we don't stay 12 forever. This is where 22 and 32. We realize I got to grow up eventually. My mama knew that. That's why she sacrificed. So mamas. Smart mamas know about sacrifice because it pays a great dividend in the end. Number two, smart mamas know how to plan. Men, women plan. They're like God. They plan everything. Just drive you nuts planning. And women are the head of the home. Men are not the head of the home. Men are the head of the wife. Wife's the head of the home. You think you're the head of the home? Hang out deer head in the living room. See how long she lets you leave it there. Maybe a week, then that puppy's going to the garage. She's not going to watch that glass eye thing stare at her in the living room. Women plan everything. My wife loves to plan. My wife wakes up usually about 5:30 every morning. Wakes up, has always, just it's in her genes. If we go to bed at 4, she'll wake up at 5. Boom. She's wide awake. She wakes up. She wants information because she's a helpmeet. She needs security. She needs a leader. And the first thing she starts doing when she wakes up, she talks. Hey, wake up. What are you doing today? What's going on? Where are you going? What's going on? What? I don't wake up to about 6:15, and I wake up slow. Don't talk to me for the first 15 minutes. You're awake. No, my eyes are open. I am not awake. And we used to fight. We would be yelling by 6. Shut up. I don't know. Dude, let me wake up. Give me some coffee. Just shut up. I mean, I don't know. I can't think, you know. And then I came with a great answer. I don't know the answer to that question. Makes my wife furious to this day if I use that statement. I do not know the answer to that question. Well, then find out. I can't help you do anything. You know, one of the standards we have for dating in our home is this, you know. If you want to date one of my girls, you got to come see me or mom. So the girl says, somebody asked you on a date, what's the answer? Yes. Can you go out Friday night? Yes, I can, but you'll need to see my mom or my dad because they screen all of our dates. Here's the phone number. And some won't call. I've had some boys not call. My kid cry. My daughter cried. Dad was not called. I said, I don't know, babe. He's a good-looking Christian boy. You know, he's a good-looking Christian wimp. Because if he won't face us, he has no business spending one-on-one time with you. And so when I do meet them, I ask one very carnal question. I ask the young man, I said, what do you see yourself doing 5 years from now? And I had one man give me this exact answer. Good kid, nice-looking red-headed kid, sitting at the house. So what do you see yourself doing 5 years from now, son? He said, well, I'm going to get me a job at the new McDonald's down in Bixby and get me a new F-150 pickup, a Beretta 300 shotgun, and a bird dog. That was his five-year plan. I said, well, son, here, you need to have another piece of apple pie. Because that's all you're getting at this house. I said, because we have trained our daughters to be helpmeets to somebody that's going somewhere. And I'm fully confident the plan you have, you can get there all by yourself.
Joe will be back in a moment with more of today's message, but right now, I'd like to tell you more about Joe's latest offer. Due to a great response for the Biblical Parenting Essentials set, we've decided to extend the offer. When you call 1-800-482-5862 with a gift of $35 or more, Joe will send you the Biblical Parenting Essentials set. This set includes three heartfelt and funny audio messages from Joe, all of them designed to help you learn the keys to raising kids and building a great family. You'll also get the Telling Your Kids the Truth card set, which includes 31 cards to give you a simple way to put God's truth into your child's heart. To get the Biblical Parenting Essential Set, simply call 1-800-482-5862 with a gift of $35 or more, and Joe will send you the Biblical Parenting Essential Set. It's Joe's way of thanking you for your support. Call toll-free 1-800-482-5862 or visit our website at fightingforfamiliesradio.com. Now, let's get back to more of Joe's message about raising and building a great family.
So what do you see yourself doing 5 years from now, son? He said, well, I'm going to get me a job at the new McDonald's down in Bixby and get me a new F-150 pickup, a Beretta 300 shotgun, and a bird dog. That was his 5-year plan. I said, well, son, here, you need to have another piece of apple pie, because that's all you're getting at this house. I said, because we have trained our daughters to be helpmeets to somebody that's going somewhere. And I'm fully confident the plan you have, you can get there all by yourself. Proverbs 29:18, where there's no vision, the people perish. If a woman or a mother needs something more than anything, she needs a plan. Listen, she needs to know what we're eating for dinner, what we're having for lunch, what's going on with breakfast, who's got the field trip, who's got the choir practice, when is the baseball game, when's the soccer match. Mamas know everything. Daddies don't know the name of their kid's teacher. You know the name of your kid's teacher? Yeah. It's Mrs. Smith, I think. Smith. She's down at the end of that building. Mamas know everything. They know when you changed your underwear or not. They know everything. You didn't change your underwear. Like, they have x-ray eyes. How could you possibly know that? They know when you brushed your teeth, when you turned your homework in. God designed women to know everything. That's why women have peripheral vision. You know, all men have long-range vision. Women have peripheral vision. That's why hunters, men hunt. They want to see far away. That's why they can't find their socks in the door or the butter in the refrigerator. Men can't find anything right in front of them. I don't see it. Back up. There it is. Men are 4 times more likely to be broadsided in an accident than a woman because he can't see it coming. That's why wives tear the dashboard of a car. Just boom, whoa, whoa, watch out. Look where you're going. Husband, dear God, shut up. Woman, you come close. You're driving me nuts. What's the matter with you? And see, women need security for them, their children. That minute, come on. But a woman is 4 times more likely to either rear end somebody or be rear ended because women have no depth perception. That's why women cannot read a map or pale or park. It's true. Because men are born with a great big ear for spatial ability in the back right hemisphere. Men love fast cars and guns and shooting and baseball and basketball and football and running. They love distance things. All video arcades in America are full of teenage boys, not teenage girls. Because girls are not born with spatial ability. They got a little bitty thing in the bottom part of their brain for spatial ability. If they have some, it's real good, but most of them don't. That's why they can't parallel park. But girls are born with areas of speech. When a baby girl is born anywhere on this planet, she's got 4 dots on top of her head, 2 in each hemisphere. Those are areas specifically for speech. You do a brain scan of a brand new baby girl, boom, what are those dots? Speech areas of the brain. Do a brain scan of a baby boy, boom, no areas for speech. That's why men don't talk as much. I just look at you. 3-year-old girl has twice the vocabulary of a 3-year-old boy. Boys outnumber girls 13-1 in remedial reading classes in public schools. My wife came to church one Wednesday night. We're out here waiting, got 6 of our kids. And she comes out of the bathroom and says, Joe, come here. I want you to meet these ladies. This is Betty, Fredna, Billie Jean. That's your husband, Bill, Frank, Bob. Their kids are here. They go here. He works here. They go, it's like, how y'all doing? I don't know you people. You know, like, and we're coming in church. It's like, come on, they're singing. Let's go. And I'm sort of frustrated. And I'm just talking. What are you people doing there? I mean, y'all like sit down at a table, exchange resumes or something? I mean, what is it? You make 3 new friends in the bathroom? How do you do that? She said, Joe, don't you talk to people in the bathroom? I said, no, it's not right. I said, no, we are not shaking hands, introducing ourselves in there. No. My son followed me to the bathroom like 3 Wednesday nights later, and he's my youngest. I got 5 girls and a boy, and he's my youngest. And I came out, and Denise is there with the girls. I said, "Where's John? He followed you in the bathroom. Didn't you see him in there?" I said, "Honey, I'm not meeting people. I'm not looking at anybody. Now, I'm not introducing myself. I don't know. I'm not taking a roll call. I don't know." And so mamas, as we get older in our married life with children, mamas get frustrated because they think men are Neanderthals. Listen, a woman hears 5 tones, a man only hears 3. That's why men never hear the baby cry at night. They can't hear it. When a man reads a newspaper, he's 70% deaf. He can't hear. For a man to go from one part of his brain to the other, he has to close the door behind him. A woman has all doors open all the time. She can multitask. A woman can drive down the interstate at 65 miles an hour while staring into a rearview mirror, putting on makeup, talking on a hands-free cell phone, listening to the news, and not miss a single item and not have a wreck. God designed the female brain different than the male brain. You see a man going down the interstate on a cell phone, insurance company say, "Get away from him," because he will drive to the intensity of that conversation. When he hangs up, he'll either be to 25 or 105. Oh, dear God, look at that. What's... So women can multitask. Men don't multitask well. So mamas have to learn how about doing that. So that's why mamas love to plan. They want a calendar. They want a time. When we go on, when you're supposed to be there. Mamas who are smart plan their life. You're going to need to, because the older you get, the busier it will get. You need to order your day. God, order, teach me to order my steps. Teach me to number my days. And men, they just like showing up most of the time, but not women. A smart mama will plan her life, or some kids are not going to get their science fair project turned in. Do you know that? We had this happen. One of my kids, and I was a school administrator, came to me on a Thursday night before Friday when the science fair project was due. She's crying. He's like, "What's the matter, babe? I have a science fair project due." "I'm like, don't worry, we'll help you get it." "No, it's due tomorrow." "I forgot about it." "Tomorrow? Tomorrow? You got a science fair project due tomorrow? What are we supposed to do about that? You going to get an F?" My wife says, "You're supposed to help her. You figure something out." "I can't figure it out. 10 o'clock at night. What are we going to do tonight? When are you going to get a science fair? It's Walmart. Got a wall. We hear our science fair projects right here on the ship. Which one would you like?" She said, "I don't know. You just need to pray in the Holy Ghost to go get the mind of God, because you're her father. You need to help her do that, because mamas know about this. You know, like, if you don't plan, we'll just plan for the next 2 hours. We're going to get something done. We don't have to be there till 8 in the morning." So I'm mad. I'm driving to town. We live way out in the country, and I'm screaming and yelling. I'm being a real nasty father. "What's the matter with you? Where's your head at? Don't you know how to plan anything?" And I'm just yelling. And so finally, I said, "I'm sorry," because she's praying in the Holy Ghost, and you shouldn't scream at your child when they're praying in the Holy Ghost. I said, "Okay, I'm sorry, I'm yelling, but man, this is wrong, you know. I can't help it. What are we going to do?" I said, "Okay, we're going to have to problem solve, so let's go down here." So I just stopped at the 7-Eleven. I'm not driving all the way to Walmart. We need a miracle either way. So if God can do miracles at 7-Eleven, just like he can at Walmart, so let's just walk in there. Well, she really started crying, like, "Dad, there's nothing in here." "Yeah, there is. Shut up. We're praying the Holy Ghost. There's something in here. We're going to figure something out." I walked in. We walked in. Of course, they're nervous when you walk in. "Can I help you?" "Not yet. We're looking for something." "What?" "Science fair project." He just kind of laughed. "I don't think we have those." "Yeah, you've got something in here somewhere. Trust me." We kept walking around those 2 little aisles. It's got to be something. So I picked up a bag of 250 cotton balls, 6 bottles of different brands of hairspray, and a box of matches. And I said, "We got a science fair project." Corey's just crying, Dad, no, shut up. I got some. Trust me. We go home. We light up those cotton balls in 6 rows on a piece of plywood on the back porch. And I took that hairspray and I soaked 1 row of it. I said, "Get your stopwatch out. Where's your stopwatch? Get your stopwatch. Set them on fire. See how long this burns." "All right, okay, here's the next brand of hair." And so I just timed the flame retardancy of hairspray. You know, how quick will it burn and how long will it burn? And so she got a B on that project. Now, we stayed up all night doing the board thing, you know. And I would like to tell you which brand it was, but I don't want anybody to sue me. All I can say is, you know, if you're wearing white rain, don't get near the stove. If you run out of lighter fluid, you know, for the grill, you know, as parents of 6 kids, you'll ask yourself a lot of questions. Now, we wanted a big family, but you know, once it starts showing up, man, it can get busy in a hurry. So you get to thinking, man, what's important? Man, there's so many options, things to do. Do we want to let them go to Little League, join the choir, and be a part of this, be a part of that? Pretty soon, you can't even get home in the evening because you're so busy. So you try to narrow it down. What is the single greatest responsibility of a parent? I'll just go back to Proverbs 22:6. It's pretty simple. It's called, "Train up a child in the way they should go. When they're old, they won't depart from it." You meet any adult, you ask any adult, why do they act the way they act? Well, because that's how they were taught and trained. You know, you are what you think about. You are what you see. And sometimes you'd hear parents say, well, I've had parents tell me, well, you never know how they're going to turn out. You just never know. You know, some turn out good, some... No, you do know how they're going to turn out. God warned us, and he taught us, and he encouraged us. Train up a child in the way he should go when he's old and not depart from it. You know, Psalm 112, verse 1-3, you know, if you fear God and delight in his commandments, your children will be successful everywhere. Wealth and riches will be in their house. Their righteousness will endure forever.
So all of a sudden, we begin to get in the Word of God and realize something. God wants our children to succeed. It is God's will that our children bring great honor to the family name. Ephesians 6, 1 through 4. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with the promise that it will be well with you and you'll live long on the earth. So all of a sudden, you realize there are a lot of promises tied into a lot of conditions. So I want my children to live a long, healthy, successful life. How are you going to do that? Well, you're going to start by obeying your parents and the Lord. That's the first commandment with a promise. So we realize I want to be successful. What is that? Well, there's certain things I want you to do and not do. So we all talk about later about, you know, fearing God's a really big thing. But I realize as a parent, I'll be training my children not until they're 18. I'll be training my children when they're 50. Because I'll be 70, they'll be 50. I'll be 90, they'll be 70. You never get out of this. I don't know who came up with the idea that parenting stops at age 18, but it does not. You're going to be a parent forever. You're going to get to encourage, confront, exhort. You know, it's just what we do. That's why families are a wonderful thing, and God established the family. So the most important responsibility is simply to train them up in the way they should go. This is what you ought to look like when you're an adult. This is how you ought to talk when you're an adult. This is how you ought to act when you're an adult. This is how you ought to think when you're an adult. So what are you going to do? We're going to start that now. We're going to teach you how to think right now, act right. Say yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, not cheat, not tell a lie, do what's right, help others more than you think about helping yourself. There are great promises in the Word of God that will promise how you can become very successful. So to be responsible is, I'm going to do what God said in His Word. I'm going to train, and I'm going to teach according to His standards, and I promise if you'll do that, your kids will hug your neck when you're an adult.
Hey, thanks for listening today. Be sure to join us Monday through Friday to hear more of what God can do in your life. He's got a great future for you and your family. We're here to help you get there. Make sure you go to our website, joemcgeeministries.com. We've got all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.